Okay, this is Winfrey, and I have an echo tonight, slightly, and this is our Monday night conference call, simulcast on EBS radio and telephone. And we have, I guess, about 12 people on the telephone, and all of those of you who are listening on BBS radio. And this is an ongoing experiment in consciousness and integrating energies in other realms into a oneness, with the idea being that each of us has, through our power of intention, has the ability to, has the potential ability to tap through what we call the veil of forgetfulness, or the veil that separates us, the veil that keeps us in prison in the earth plane. We have the potential to tap through that veil and come into a place where the part of us that is nonlinear, the part of us that is in other dimensions, the part of us that moves just by the power of our intention, exists. And for some people that might be listening, maybe that's a new idea, and maybe they didn't know that was possible. And there's other people that say, hey, I've been doing that all the time, but I didn't know that's what it was called. Hang on, I'm gonna mute everybody. Hey, before I mute you guys, I want to say hello to the people on BBS.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you, Terry. At least one person said something. Anybody else on the line?
Hello, I'm on the line, yeah.
Thank you. That's Wayne?
Yes.
Hang on a second.
All callers are muted.
Well, we have two people that said hello anyway. Actually, probably a lot of people were muted, and I took them by surprise. There are times when we just open the conference line up and people share, and there's a reason why we have the conference line, and there's a reason why this is done, a conference call, as opposed to me talking to you. And it may be a subtle reason. If you're listening and you just tuned in, it just sounds like, oh, here's this guy talking. And, you know, should I be entertaining? You know, should I tell you something great about the negative elite? Should I tell you about something secret? No, that's not what we're doing here. There's a lot of other shows that do that. And this show is not really about entertainment. You might find yourself entertained, but that's not really the purpose of what we're doing. And you probably may have not tuned into a show that had this kind of purpose attached to it. So the purpose is, as I was saying, to get into a direct experience with the part of ourself that's on what we call the other side of the veil, the invisible part of ourself, the part of ourself that's in the hologram, the part of ourself that's in the oneness of everything. It's not cut off like being in our physical bodies and being separated from everything. And, of course, the first thing is you have to hear about the possibility that you exist in this realm, because it's invisible to you. So, you know, if you're listening for the first time, then you have to consider, either this guy's crazy, or maybe he's saying something that is true and I don't know it. And so open yourself to the possibility. Some of you actually have lived in a holographic consciousness for a long time, but never realized it. I mean, you never had a vocabulary to define it. It was just your reality. And, you know, oftentimes people that are in that reality feel separated from other people. They feel estranged. They feel that no one understands. They can feel crazy because they're highly sensitive. They're around people. They pick up people's vibes. They're intuitive. They're psychic. And it's because they're very tapped into the space on the other side of the veil. And they walk around in that experience of that, and but they don't have the vocabulary to understand it. So oftentimes other people might think they're crazy. They haven't mastered working with it, but they came into this realm as a interdimensional being. In fact, Terry is probably one of those people, and she's on the line listening to me now. And then the thing about having your consciousness in the other side of the veil is that you're not alone there. There's a lot more what you could call oneness, because in those realms, you're just an energy form. You're not a physical body. A physical body is an exercise in separateness. It's an exercise in individualized individualizement. It's an exercise in omni and your you. And we walk around here with this illusion that we're separate. And of course, in this realm, the illusion is really good, so we don't have much trouble maintaining our minds to believe it. And most people believe it. Maybe I live in my house and you live in your house and I have my bank account and you have your bank account and you're suffering and I'm not, so I'm glad I'm not suffering because it's too bad that you are. Now, what is the great secret of this realm is that every single person has the potential to be multidimensional. And most people, to some degree or another, have some part of their awareness, a small part maybe, in this hologram, in this multidimensional universe. And it's actually something that you can learn. You can learn to expand your awareness into those spaces. And in fact, the people that have been on the conference call quite regularly, I would say every one of them has had some experience of expanding into these realms. Now, many of them had touched on that before they ever participated on these calls, but the calls kind of crystallized it, made it, you know, most people experience it by themselves and never with other people. And then they feel like, am I crazy? What's going on? Or they're reading about it, or they have an intuition. And so here, we are kind of making that experience rather ordinary. Not ordinary in terms of mundane, but where something which is normally not part of someone's life on a regular basis, they just touch into it, suddenly we're having it happen for us over and over again, and almost like on demand when we come into these calls. It just, our consciousness moves into the hologram, we start becoming one with each other, we feel the energy, and when I'm talking, I'm not talking out of just a separate body. I'm talking with the group consciousness that's on the call. And that's why it's a conference call. That's why it's not me talking about my ideas and this, that, and the other thing, because we have that energy on the call. Now, it wasn't there when we first started, or it wasn't there very much. It's almost like we've taken a couple of years figuring this out because it's an unusual thing to do. It's not, you're dealing not with willpower. You're dealing with intention. You're dealing with the free will of other people. You're dealing with a bunch of people learning something together, including me. And finally, it's come to the place where almost every time we have a call, that there's a group energy that's established, and it just is there, and everyone's feels it. And, you know, one of the things that people have to sacrifice to some degree to move into this group energy is, well, this is a funny one. It's like, we sacrificed it and we didn't, because we still have it, but we don't, is, you could call it privacy. Suddenly, in the established, most people have this area that they hope no one ever sees. They feel bad about it. They feel, if anyone saw that, they wouldn't like me. Or, it's a shadow side. It's the part of you that, you know, feels crazy, gets horny, gets, you know, all, you know, feels like you're not good enough. And if anyone saw the part of you that was not good enough, they'd reject you. So you have to walk around and put this good face forward and then take the part that's not good enough and go home and hide it. And oftentimes suffering and feeling lonely and separate and protecting that part of yourself. If you want to get into oneness, that part of yourself that you've been protecting is going to be seen by other people. And you need a protected space for that to occur, because many people, will take advantage of that part of you. They will, if you let yourself be vulnerable to let those parts of yourself be seen, then they will use you, misuse you, abuse you, and not care. We've all had that, many of us, probably all of us, have had that happen to us many times, maybe not only in this lifetime, but in past lifetimes. So it's not easy to let yourself be visible. It's more natural to take this part of yourself that you're ashamed of, shove it in the background, and then put your best foot forward and look good. And, you know, sometimes if you can do that with enough mastery, everyone will respond to you with a part of you that's looking good. And for the moment, you could then go on an ego trip with that, because then you say, geez, I really am something because I'm looking good, and people are applauding. So I must be worthy because people are responding to me. But you know what? That's a temporary fix, because the bottom line is you are now enmeshed in the God, what you could call the God of opinion, and that you are not truly coming from your spiritual center. You are locked into a hologram of reflected energy coming back to you. And it's an illusion. It looks good, but it's an illusion. But it's a contained hologram, because you need other people's approval, and that's what contains the hologram. And you are not able to center into the highest of the high inside yourself, because whenever you say something, whenever you do something, you're wondering, I wonder what they would think of me. I hope I said that right. Do they like me? And I'm sure you all can recognize, having gone through those aspects of yourself. And when you're in that, and you're doing something with other people, you know, there is a contained hologram that is created, that is a kind of oneness. But it's a oneness that is, how would you say it? It is compressed. It is contracted. Because what's happening is one person is doing it and not co-creating with the other people. You see, this line actually is a co-creation. I'm just talking. I'm not doing anything. And I am responding to the energy, and I'm feeding the energy back in the other realms. And just as I start to do that, we automatically start coming into this experience of oneness. And within the experience of oneness, you can feel a shift in your chakras. You can feel your heart open. You can feel connected. And of course, you can feel the energy, since this is all happening in the hologram and in other realms, there's other beings in those other realms, and part of the reason and way I've learned this is because I've had the ongoing conversations with these other beings, and I've tested it and asked them how it worked, and tested it and asked them how about this, and tested it, and kind of helped me get into a level of confidence and mastery of something which is somewhat rare in this realm to have, because you're working with energies that are invisible, and you can't just believe it. I mean, I can't just tell you, okay, you know, like if you were in school and somebody said, okay, there's other realms, there's invisible realms, and there's beings in these other realms, and they can help us, you know, you could go for years and hear that in your mind and not move into an experience of it. And you know what? That believing it in your mind is worthless. Because, well, not completely worthless, because for some people, just the knowledge that something is possible will move them into the exploration till they find it, till they make it real for themselves. But the knowledge itself is fairly worth it. Worthless. In other words, many of us want an inside edge on the right knowledge. Is Jesus coming back? When is he coming back? Is there going to be an earthquake? Is California going into the ocean? How about ascension? Is that going to happen? What is the real answer? How does this correlate with that? So, you know, all of that stuff is valuable because it gives your mind reasons to say, this might be real. And once you say, this might be real, you get your doubt out of the way. Because doubt is an energy that contracts you. But you can't believe anything blindly. So doubt is also a protective device that makes sure you don't walk into a negative layer by mistake and get caught in some bear trap and can't get out. So doubt has a purpose. It has the purpose of saying, how do I know this is real? How do I know it's not negative? How do I know it's not going to take me over if I surrender to it? How do I know who these beings are on the other side? So it does require you to have a degree of scrutiny. And some people may scrutinize it and say, forget it. And others may scrutinize it. And then at the point that you scrutinize it and you let go of your doubt, that's a major step, because now you can start working directly with the energies. And now you can start experiencing this co-creation that we're all doing on this line in our interface between this dimension and other dimensions. And so I do not want anyone to believe anything I'm saying. I say this over and over again, but I can't say it enough, because your doubt is that purpose. And one of the aspects of its purpose is to make sure you're not being fooled, there's no chicanery. I'm talking about things that you haven't experienced. And so if you haven't experienced it, why should you believe that it's real? Now, in the case with myself, there's a huge amount of evidence that is available to everyone in the public that if they study the evidence, it will go a great distance in eradicating the doubt, because there's physical circumstances, events that occurred in the physical universe repetitively, still occurring, that indicates that what I'm saying may be real. So if you're one of those people that have doubt, you need to study the circumstances. You need to read the book, because these are things that can help your doubt go away. And once your doubt goes away or is diminished, you then have far more chance of experiencing the realities I'm talking about. But that doubt has to go as a natural process. It can't go because you want it to go. You can't blindly believe something that you have invalidated. You're not being fair to the process. And, you know what? If you blindly believe something, that may not get you to the experience we're talking about. It may not get you there. Everyone has to go through a process. But the first step in the process is believing that maybe there's something there. Traditionally, the first step has been faith. And unfortunately, for many spiritual religions today and movements, faith has become the last step. And in this group we're working with now, with all the circumstances that have occurred around this, faith may still be the first step, but eventually there's going to be a movement beyond faith into direct knowingness and direct mastery of our energies, and a direct ability to be of very high service in a way that's pretty rare on this planet. And, I sent an email out to Dimensional Shift earlier today, which I don't usually do. You know, sometimes I'm confused how to talk to Dimensional Shift, because there's like probably three different groups in that. There's not a oneness in that group. There's different groups and that have oneness within them, but that group does not have a oneness in it, because there's people that just get the emails of the channelings and read them, but we don't know who they are. They signed up and they're just interested in reading the channelings. And then there's people that were coming into the conference calls that maybe stopped coming in, but were interested in getting the channelings in their email. And then there's the people that have been coming into the conference calls regularly, all the time, people that have joined the Light Body program, who are almost instantly into a space of connection every single time. So when I try to address Dimensional Shift, which is that's one of our Yahoo groups, I get confused. I feel all of those energies simultaneously, and I'm not sure which one I'm talking to, and I have to figure out a way to talk to all of them, and maybe I can say something that will create more cohesiveness, that will reach some of the people who are just reading the material over and over again but never take a step towards connecting or reaching back. And so, but I sent something to Dimensional Shift, because last Sunday on our grid healing, there's something really unusual that happened. Things unusual happen a lot that was one that was exceptionally unusual, and it had to do with Katrina, the hurricane, not Katrina, this new hurricane that was coming into Louisiana, New Orleans, and it was supposed to be stronger than Katrina and do more damage than Katrina, and everyone was just bolstering up for this major onslaught. And so on the Sunday grid hearings, in case there's people that haven't checked in and don't know what we do, we create a group energy. And we have a group energy now. Some of you are feeling it. We didn't invoke it, but it's just there. But the energy is probably even stronger on the Sunday grid healing because it's people that have been on the calls over and over and over again. It's not listening to me. It's a dialogue between myself and Terry, and everyone on the call is kind of involved in it. And Terry is able to access this group energy, and she's also able to access some of the intelligences, the positive intelligences that we've been working with that have identified themselves as the Elohim and the Ra group, and bring forth their words. And she's also able to remote view the locations we're going to. Now, I'm going to tell you that when we first started doing this and Terry started doing this, I said to myself, is she really doing this? Is this really happening? And I left my jury out. I'm not a easy one to believe something. And I'm living in a fantasy science fiction movie, and over again, I'm asking myself, is this really happening? Is this real? And I'm sure some of you, even those of you that have been on the line over and over again, have had that thought cross your mind. And I don't ever tell anybody it's real. I just say, hey, get on the train, ride with it. We're not demanding anything. Just see where your own experience leads you. And there's been no evidence that it's negative. There's been no evidence that it's hurt anybody. There's only been evidence that people have been helped by what we're doing. And so check it out and ride with it and see where it goes. Because on this grid healing, what we do is we create a group energy, and then we send it to different places. But we have these group souls attach themselves to our energy. Now, the way the universe works, as we have learned it, and this is different from what a lot of people talk about, is that there's these two group souls in the same dimensions that our invisible parts are, or maybe they don't live there, but they can project into it. They can project into that hologram where we exist in the hologram. And so when they project into it, those who are sensitive can feel a shift in the energy. Now, as I talk about them, the thing about them is they pay attention to all the stuff we're doing. So I've learned this. I didn't know it was true. I've learned as soon as I say it, they start doing it. It kind of gives them permission to enter the hologram. So while I've been talking, we've been creating a group hologram. And those of you that are listening could feel, and some of you, not everyone can feel this, and this isn't for everyone. Some people have to listen in as skeptics for a while, but those that are sensitive could feel that energy creating itself. And that when we invite these group souls in, we can feel the energy get bigger. And the thing about it is when we create a guided intention, formerly known as a prayer, what happens is this realm is being created by other realms, in other realms. Most things that happen here happen because they were started out in the etheric, moving down to the astral, and then into the physical. So if you want something to happen in the physical, it's far easier to create it in the higher realms and bring it into precipitation. You still need to do the physical actions that are required, but instead of working by the sweat of the brow, you're having grace, you're having lots and lots of help, and so it flows. And the thing about precipitating something in the physical like this is that if you're going to work with the energy of other people in this kind of precipitation, you have to be sure that you're precipitating things which are in the highest good of all concerned. Because these group souls won't work with it unless that's part of what you're doing. That's what they're there to help us and to help the evolution of the planet. But they're not helping self-serving motivations. So when you create a group energy and you want to use it, then you use it for the highest good of all concerned, and you can't violate anyone else's free will in under that. Since it's for the highest good of all concerned, it means not just the highest good of these guys or the highest good of this religion or the highest good of that. It means all. So you can't violate someone that has negative unless there's enough people who wish the positive. Then even if the negative has the power, for example, the positive can win because we have a billion group souls coming in adding to the weight of what we're asking for. So on the grid healings, that's what's going on. We're creating a oneness energy amongst our small little group of 10 people, 12 people, and we are projecting this energy. And I thank everyone that has been coming into those calls because, you know, myself, they didn't even start with me. And I wasn't sure. Again, I watched things carefully to see what the significance is and if it's really working, if there's really energy to it. And so in saying what I'm saying, I can say it in hindsight, but for a long time, I would put it into the arena of an experiment, say, well, if we do this and we do this, I wonder if this will work. So we're creating this group energy, and we're sending it to places, and we're asking for things, and theoretically, we're going to the place prior to the physical world precipitating, and we're doing it, and we're inviting these group souls to come in and help us. So we're not just 10 people. We're 100,000 or a million or however many are delegated to work with us. And then we have the voice of the group souls speaking to us during the grid healings and telling us how it looks from their point of view. And Terry is looking at an area with her ability to remote view and telling us how that looks. And as we've been doing this, I told Terry, I said, you know what, we could really embarrass ourselves. What if you make a mistake? You know, it's like, you know, people are not, with any kind of channeling like this, there's no guarantee that the person who's channeling is always right. There's a lot of mitigating factors, and one of them is, you know, we were talking earlier about the God of opinion. When anytime somebody is talking publicly, there's always the possibility, and we all have it, that, geez, if they're worried about whether people like them or not, they may say something to try to please people unconsciously rather than be able to stay in the truth of what they're wanting to do. So when you do a public channeling like this, there is a, you know, the human aspect that I say, please, please, please evaluate everything that happens and don't take anything 100%. Put it through your own filters. So on this particular Sunday, what happened was we were putting that hurricane in the light. The hurricane that was off the coast of Louisiana, that was a level 4 that was going to do all that devastation. And so as we were putting it in the light, we had Ra'an talking to us, who was part of the Ra group, and they were saying that, okay, we did it. We reduced the strength of it, and it was not going to be a devastating earthquake. And
not earthquake.
Not earthquake, hurricane, thank you, hurricane. And so Terry is channeling that, and I'm saying, okay, my credibility is on the line. We have a national hurricane, level 4, going into New Orleans, and this voice is saying it's under control because of what we did on the grid healing. And I'm saying, what if we have this devastation still occur? Then, God, I've damaged my credibility because we did this live. Can't take it back. Well, immediately, somebody towards the end of the grid healing looked up on the internet and said, at the very moment we were doing the grid healing, or very shortly thereafter, it came out to a report that it went down to a level 3, and it wasn't projected to do the damage that it was going to do. And now it hit New Orleans, and sure enough, I mean, it still was bad. It was 110 miles an hour winds, but it didn't do what they said it was going to do. And did we do that? I wouldn't take any credit for it, but I would tell the story because it's an amazing story, and I didn't lose any credibility, okay? Because this worked this time, does that mean next Sunday we should be blind believers? No. We should hope for the best and keep our intents high and keep sending light, love, energy to the locations around the planet where it's needed, and just monitor the results and not believe anything until it's solid. But in the meantime, that did happen this Sunday, and there's been many other instances where we put things in the light, we put a circumstance in the light, and there was an unusual shift afterwards. And I never brought them up before because I'm my own worst skeptic, and I know, well, how do you know it's not coincidence? How do you know it's not coincidence? And you know, they don't really want credit, and I don't want credit, although I'd like more people supporting what we're doing because I know that if they were, we'd speed up this process of what we're contributing to our planet. And so that's the story. I forgot how I got there, but I got there and shared it with you. So anyone that's listening, we're going to start the grid healings. Please participate. You're invited to participate next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. What we're going to do, we've decided that we're going to have the core group that's been on there regularly for like months to be there at 10 o'clock, and they're going to decide the places that we're actually going to work with. And then new people will be kind of silent, because what it is a new person that speaks out of turn can screw up the energy. So until the person's in the energy flow and feels the energy, it's better that a person that's silently supporting us, I mean, there can be an opportunity to say hello and greet us, and then I'm going to mute everybody, because it's too sensitive to have a live channeling with new people that are having doubt. And like I said, doubt is a good thing. I don't take anyone's doubt away from them, because doubt is thing that is a protective filter, and that you should check something out. But also, doubt is an energy that if you're channeling, the channel should be insulated from it. The person that's in doubt can pay attention, and then they can go through their process, and they can decide, yes, I like this, or no, I don't. But the channel themselves should not be exposed to doubt directly. It's not something that you can prove to someone in a moment, which some people want. They say, do a miracle, do this, do that. You know what? That would not change anything. That does not help a person move their energy into the hologram. That turns someone into a blind believer. Because they say, did you see what she did? Did you hear how accurate she was? And blind believers are people that have not done their scrutiny, that believe something without expanding into the hologram on the other side of the veil. So if one is going to go through their doubt, it should not be because somebody does something miraculous in their face, because the negative can do miracles also. So, you may decide to swallow your doubt, and it might be the negative that you're following. You see, when you attach your energy to something, like we are attaching our energies to each other in this group, we have created a group consciousness. You don't want to create a group consciousness around a negative source, because that's going to carry with you when you die. It's a negative initiation. So you need to scrutinize things really carefully. And of course, I'm not going to go into it. We've talked many times about how to recognize a negative source, fear, power, control, and lack of free will. Someone tells you what to do instead of letting you come to it yourself. In this group, this is just a loose affiliation of a bunch of people that have freely chosen to keep coming back, including me. I don't have to do this. Certainly I'm not getting overpaid. And the people that are in the group, many of them come in over and over again, and they do it because they've come to the realization that they're part of creating something and contributing to something that's really potentially huge on this planet. And you can't come to that conclusion because someone tells it to you, because then the free will would be gone. You have to come to it because you've observed it. You know, Jesus made a very good thing about that. By your fruits ye shall be known. And that's probably as good a criteria as you could get for figuring out if whether something is positive or negative. You know, I remembered reading these things years ago, and I'm certainly not a conventional Christian, and I never have been, but when I read some of the things in the Bible that Jesus said, they very much connected with some of the things that I was discovering myself. Just, I was having all these miracles and all these intuitions, and I studied them because I said, hey, you know what, this guy was deep. I didn't have to, you know, put him as my savior or the son of God. I didn't have to make any exaltation about him. I said, he knew certain things about the way the universe functioned that I was discovering, and as I read his words, I knew that he knew what I was discovering. I wasn't believing it. So, like, when two or more gathered, I discovered that one. As you do it to the smallest of these, you do it to me. You see, it was the spirit force of the oneness talking through him that was saying that. The same source that comes through, I believe, Matthew on Wednesday, that joins all of our energies and becomes one with us and speaks to the oneness that's in all of us. And the same source that comes through Terry that can tune into the oneness and be there. And so it becomes sharing, not a believing, and you can feel the energy. You can feel them when they come in. So now, Terry, I said I wasn't... Terry said, uh-oh, do I have to talk tonight? Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. I wanted to say one thing. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Listen, this evening before we got on, Terry said, I don't know if I'm tired. I drove to Sedona. I don't know. Maybe I said, okay, well, I'll take the brunt of this. And What did you want to say?
I wanted to say that I heard on the TV later today that that hurricane Gustav came on shore as a Category 2, and before our grid healing, it had been predicted to come across as on land as a Category 4.
Right. So listen, we got about 4 minutes, okay? And maybe Ra'an, who was on when we did that, you know, we have both group souls on the line working with us, so they say. Of course, we're dealing with invisible realms, so like, keep your doubt and just keep checking it out. That's a good line. Keep your doubt and check it out. But maybe they'd like to address what I'm talking about from their point of view and how the interaction works, and when we commune ourselves and we're part of some shift that happens in the physical world.
Okay.
Should I call in the light for that?
Quickly, because we don't have much time.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negative be taken to the higher realms of light. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy, and we invite the group souls that we've been working with to join with our group energy and make a protected space that only positive service to other beings can connect with. And do we have a source?
This is a higher level of the Ra group beyond Ra'an, and we wanted to express that we are very happy that each and every one of you is present, and wanted to send our greetings to each and every one of you. At this level, what we consider when and now this is Ra'an speaking also, that at this level, we do not consider whether the experiment or the action that we're doing will fail or succeed, and we do not consider whether the individuals will approve or not approve. We take into account the individual prayers of the greater number of people and whether the energy is towards, say, in this case, the dissolution of, or lowering of the category of Gustav. And we do not consider that if the prayers weren't with it for the energy to be dissipated and the category did not fall, that it would be a failure. It would merely mean that the group consensus reality was not with the process. Also, by having the group prayers behind this, we were able to work with all of the willing souls and all of the wonderful grid workers and space holders to dispense energy from Gustav into other areas which were lacking and needing of energy without judging the storm at all, and congratulating the storm upon its wonderful display of power and energy, and thanking it and acknowledging it. So we did not set up a counter force. We set up forces to then work with the energies that were available and to disperse them in more profitable arenas. We thank each and every one of you for being here, and we hope to see you down the line on a grid healing or another venture, say a Matthew reading on Wednesdays. I didn't know it. So hang on.
Thank you. So it's 6:52. I hope we're still on the air. For those of you that are on the air, we do continue on the phone line. We put things in the light, and it's kind of like working with the same energy of helping to make a contribution to our planet through the interface with other dimensions. So you can send in, go to dimensional-shift.org, and you'll get a schedule with the phone numbers if you want to call in. Also, we may not continue doing this on BBS. It's still under consideration. So be sure, if you're one of those people that's listening on BBS, that you mark down the website, dimensional-shift.org, so that you know how to find us. And finally, I have a new program that it's a channeling excerpt in your email every day for old people and new people. And you can sign up for it in returnofedgar.com. And hopefully this is something that people will share with other people. And it's an ongoing, every single day, uplifted message. And I'm doing this because I've learned how to use autoresponders, which means I can set it up for the year. And every time somebody checks in, they get in the program. And I think this is going to be a great way to help other people